Hi, I'm Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. Today, Pam and I are talking about what we learned from our guests who explored the topic of the ways in which feminism has changed over time. If you missed any of the shows, you can listen to them at khsu.org, iTunes, chronologicallygifted.org, and Podbeam. Pam, what stood out for you?
Sojourner Truth delivered a speech at the Women's Convention in Akron, Ohio on May 29, 1851, which asked this convention of privileged white women if slavery was not a woman's issue. All of our guests talked about the more recently emerging voices of women of color, lesbians, working women. In other words, a framework of intersectionality, where our analyses and actions are based on those locations or positions from which we stand. For example, rural versus urban, women of color, poor and working class women, LGBTQ, native women, old women, and so on. That each of these positions in life constitutes privilege and or challenges. In other words, feminism is now more inclusive of a broader set of women's experiences and voices. I see this as critical, Annie, because feminist theory helped us to see how social and economic structures define our roles, what is normal, what it means to be a woman. Mary talked about the Brady Bunch image of womanhood. The freedom to step outside these confines is what she saw feminism offering, as well as the legitimacy to choose a traditional role. Domestic violence is another issue that in the early days lacked a class and race-based analysis. For women of color, migrant women, and native women, leaving wasn't always an option due to racism in law enforcement. Women were told to leave a violent husband, but in order to make this choice, they had to enter a welfare system that also violates them. Societal images around that: they are bad mothers if they stay, and if they leave, they're stereotyped as lazy. Annie, those are some things I just think are really an improvement, the breadth and the depth of what feminism can offer. What did you pick up?
All of our guests talked about how working class women, poor women, women of color, didn't have time to sit around and theorize about their rights, to talk about women's right to work, for example. They had to work, take care of their kids, and do whatever possible to ensure the viability and health of their families. The theorizing was done by women of means, white women who led very different lives. I liked being reminded that the movement wasn't inclusive initially, and was justifiably criticized for that lack of inclusivity. I also am heartened to look at how much the movement has embraced the voices of people who were conspicuously absent before, while I acknowledge that the work isn't over.
On another note, our listeners may be aware of the controversy about a just-released film, Wonder Woman, based on the DC comic books. Theaters in Austin and here, probably other cities as well, offered a one-night viewing for women only. While this sparked very positive blog comments, it also brought out more negative, mean-spirited comments by some who lack an understanding of why this might be relevant. A female colleague of David Edelstein's film review wrote this in response to what he had written. She says, "I think what's really upsetting people is that you aren't taking the movie very seriously as a feminist statement in the context of the superhero genre. Because I suspect the genre does not have the significance to you that it does to them. The review is mixed, and they really want it to be an unqualified sensation because it's directed by a woman. But you treat it as a piece of pop fun. This is a generation weaned on Star Wars, and they take that very seriously as well. They read a lot into this movie and its position in the culture." Again, she emphasizes position, as I was talking about before, where we stand in the world. This writer acknowledges that. In response, so does Edelstein, which I really appreciated. With that response from her, he's able to take that in and really think deeply about this. And here's what he writes. "I underestimated how much a superheroine at the center of a woman-directed film would mean to many people, and descriptions I considered lively and complimentary would come across as demeaning. Moreover, if Wonder Woman will empower women at this moment in history, in which reproductive rights are imperiled, and an admitted groper is working to undo decades of gains for women, then some of the criticisms of my review are just. I reserve the right to think that this is not overall a very good movie, but it is an important one.
I have great respect for him.
Me too.
I was left feeling unnerved by the increase in unexamined misogyny that seems to be a staple in our culture in these difficult times, as Edelstein mentioned, prior to and since the election. I don't know what to do with this. We have a person in the White House who cheerfully and proudly admitted to groping women, has made myriad demeaning comments about women, and has sparked a marked increase in people of his ilk thinking that this behavior and language are acceptable. It feels like we made two steps forward and a couple hundred back, and I find it painful. I remember being 17 and an exchange student in Brazil in 1973. I was instructed by my Brazilian family not to make eye contact with boys because it would signal to them that I was of loose morals. I was furious about this. I was a California teenager used to feeling like an equal with the boys who were my friends, and suddenly I couldn't look at a Brazilian boy and look him in the eye because that would label me as loose and I'd get what such girls apparently were thought to deserve. So I kept my eyes down and I seethed. One day after I'd been in country for around 8 months, I walked by a construction site. The workers began whistling and making the usual obnoxious, suggestive comments they made when a young girl walked by. The drill was that I should not look at them, and I was tired of the drill. I turned, and I flipped them off. Okay, so that particular hand gesture meant absolutely nothing in Brazil, so it was, in essence, meaningless. But it felt so good to me. I felt so empowered. I don't want to walk back in time so that 17-year-old women today have to worry about being groped or hassled or told to smile on the plaza or told to be quiet. I want feminism today to be bold, to stop in the middle of the street and flip off the sexists and misogynists and anyone who would limit the experiences and self-perceptions and life options of young women. I want to be bold.
Hurrah, Annie. That's beautiful and so empowering. That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, Facebook group, and email address, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.